Everybody, this is Armand DeMel with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, thoughts, guests, help you lead a more positively minded life. You know, today we're going to talk about, I have in the studio with me Linda Vanella. Linda, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about loneliness. Because it's a funny word, loneliness. People come to me all the time and say, I feel lonely. But I'm not sure if lonely is a feeling. I think it's a perception, a thought. What is loneliness? It's a subjective experience. If a person thinks they are lonely, then they are lonely. But is it feeling lonely? Or is it that you feel depressed because you perceive yourself as being alone? Well, I wanted to delve into this because it turns out there's a whole bunch of variations about loneliness, things that I didn't know. So we put on the research hat and we started to search. And we found a number of things that I think would be very interesting for you. Let's start off with yours, Linda. What do you got?
Well, what I'm seeing is that there are very many different degrees of connection that people do. There are high connection people.
Connection and, to what?
Well, connection to each other.
Okay, so there are people who are connected, mm-hmm. and by connection we mean connection to each other.
Yes, yes. Okay, a human relationship of significance. And so we see that there are people who have high connection and there are people who have low connection. For instance, the always high connected person has many significant relationships. That person has a relationship with their mate, with their children. That person has a relationship at work with their coworkers. That person will tend to belong to clubs. That person plays sports. They go to the gym. The person is very involved with each other and with other people all the time.
And like most of the young people in New York nowadays, there's a connectedness everywhere. They go to where there are crowds. I mean, part of New York is that there are people all around you. Mm-hmm. And so that you're saying there are certain people, the high-connected people, have these connections. They don't even have to be married. They don't even have to have children. They could have dates. They could have a significant other. But there is a point of connection that they have that is in a number of different places.
Well, of course, you'll have that person who feels a significant rapport, an ability to be able to exchange and feel real. They don't feel disconnected. They don't feel lost in the crowd, but they feel that when they speak, they're being heard. There's a listening, and there's a rapport with the other person that's of significance to them in their life. They feel connected.
One of the criteria for this perception of loneliness is being able to speak to and have someone hear you, mm-hmm. and not have, and for someone to speak to you and you hear them. So it's an interchange, it's an intercourse, it's a communication where you're being heard and you're hearing. Very interesting, very interesting. So what is loneliness therefore? According to your definition, therefore, loneliness is having somebody, is not believing that there's somebody there to hear you. That's big. Let's see, let's take this on. A person who is connected everywhere doesn't run into much danger if they lose a connection.
No, because they'll always feel, and they do in fact have, other relationships of significance that offer them the support and the comfort. They may grieve, But they don't have that sense of loneliness because the connection is still viable and real in their life.
So they have somebody else. So let's say that you break up a relationship with somebody, you get a divorce. And you have this loneliness, but you have someone coming over and putting their arms around you and saying, come on, buddy, let's go get a drink, or let's play some sports, or let's do something. Or you go to the gym, or you go somewhere to your other crew, to your clan, to your tribe, you know, and you have this connectedness. The loss of one doesn't devastate you.
Precisely.
So therefore, you must be saying that there are certain people who have limited connections. What are they like?
Well, those are the people that have very selective connection. They may be less connected. They seem to have a connection to one or two people. But those are the people that if there's a divorce or there is a death, they suffer very deep depression because there goes the loneliness and that feeling of disconnection to that significant relationship that had some
significance. Because then there's nobody there.
Exactly.
So with the first kind of very connected people, they don't have that same feeling, but the one who's dependent on one. So I guess if that's just dependent personality functioning, I don't know. But the person who has just one is more at risk. It's not that they automatically suffer, because I know a lot of people who are not connected to many people. They break one relationship, they go back to being alone, they're okay.
Well, sure.
But there is more of a risk that you will fall into that depressive experience, which you perceive as loneliness.
Sure. And there are those that the non-connected person, the person that chooses to be alone, they do not want relationships of any kind. They don't feel that they're in need of any kind of relationship. They don't even want to live with tropical fish. They are very content to say that they believe that they're okay without others. And there'll be people that will say, gee, I tend to like to read more or knit more or something like that, but that I enjoy my solitude. So these are the people that I believe are protecting themselves from ever feeling lonely.
So there's a danger, you're saying, mm-hmm. Linda. There's a danger in yearning, you know, that we have. Well, you know, and it kind of reminds me of the babies of the 40s and 50s, right?
Yes.
And their yearnings. Something shifted somewhere early in life, somewhere around the 40s and 50s when children were born. These war babies, what happened to them?
Well, at the time that they were born, Armand, these people, the parents basically gave them everything. The culture was such that if the child demands to be lifted and carried and whatever, the parents gave them and lavished them so that they grow up and it is natural that they would expect that their demands would continue to be met. So if they're standing alone at a party, these are the people that they expect that they're going to have contact. And if they don't, they claim to be bored. It really means that they are really restless for contact. So they're always yearning for that, and they expect it.
Okay, so now we have a confusion. There are people who get lonely, and then there are these other people who feel they have a sense of privilege because they were born in the 40s and 50s. So that means people who are now in their 50s and 60s have a kind of demand of connectedness. You know, they want to be recognized. This is the kind of person who you'll see demanding that the waiter pay attention to them, even if the waiter is busy. It's a sense of you know, hey, look at me, I'm crying, therefore you have to pick me up.
Exactly.
So those people will talk about, and they'll talk about not having that response, and they will define that as lonely. So now loneliness has a couple of different definitions. One definition is it's somebody who, a person who perceives themselves as lonely is a person who perceives themselves as not having someone to listen to them. And another person who perceives themselves as lonely is saying not having someone to respond to me. I wonder which is more important, or are they both the same thing, response and listen to? Does it really matter? If you were on a desert island and the only person you had with you was somebody who was like Robinson Crusoe, you know, so you only had one person who doesn't speak your language. Therefore, they can't really hear and understand you. Is that good enough? Does that prevent you from being lonely? I would imagine it does. So I don't know which it is. But I do know what we look at as loneliness, and what we perceive as loneliness very often is a mask for other feelings that people don't explore because they call this word a feeling, and it's not a feeling. It's a subjective experience. You know how a lot of war babies deal with their perceived loneliness is they shop. Shopping is one and gambling is another. Both going to a casino, it's kind of impossible to feel lonely at a casino. Or you go to a gym, you know, where you have people all around you all the time, you're sharing sweat, and just the pheromones themselves fill you in some way. You can go to movies where there are a lot of people around. But very often shopping is, I really believe this year we're going to see there's a higher degree of shopping at Christmas time than we'll ever see before. You know, they're trying to predict now, they're saying that, oh, with the recession, people will be buying less. But I think there's a buying frenzy out there. And I think it's a frenzy. I think people are spending all their time finding things on Amazon and trying to find things they buy on the internet. You know, package delivery is a big deal. One of the advantages of having doormen in buildings is package delivery. You know, in the most people have to go to a post office to go pick it up. But the people who are, now I guess then there goes the internet. If you're lonely and you have the internet, can you be lonely? You can always set up chat with somebody over something. And in fact, you could create a person that you are to relate to other people. This is Armand DeMille with you with Linda Vanello. We're talking about loneliness. What makes a person lonely is the fact that he or she wants more social interaction than is currently available. A person may be in the middle of a party and feel lonely because they're not talking to enough people. A person could be married with a husband or wife and feel terribly lonely. And what they're really saying is, I need interaction. I need human interaction. And I'm not getting it at home. My husband and I have kind of set ourselves to a safe place where we're not talking to each other anymore about anything significant. I need to be heard. So somebody comes along, like the gardener who wants to listen to you, and you say, oh boy, you. And I'd be willing to bet that most extramarital affairs have some relationship to this sense of loneliness that people have in relationships where they have kind of settled into, we won't discuss much. Because what do you get out of an extramarital affair? You think you get sex. But besides sex, you get contact. And besides contact, you can say whatever you want. And people talk. Even though they're just having an affair, they talk. And they're heard. And they're listened to. And part of the deal is, if we're going to have sex, I got to listen to you for at least 15 minutes. And I know that's the deal. And so a man who feels unimportant in his home will find somebody to have an affair with who considers him important. And she'll listen to him, or he'll listen to him. And say, yeah, you are important. What you have to say is important. So loneliness is not as much a feeling as a sense. On the flip side, a person could be alone and not lonely. Even though there's no one around, that the person is not lonely because he or she does not have a desire to talk to anyone. For example, a person who's taking an exam. You know, you're taking an exam. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to study for your exam. And kind of like what you're saying, Linda, about the different kinds of people, it's been argued that each person has their own sweet spot of social interaction. A person can get a little or too much, too little or too much social interaction, and we all have our sweet spots. What's yours? I'm asking the audience. What's yours out there? What have you found? Where is your level between solitude and gathering? Are you one of those people who could just be with so many people that you never have enough of it. Solitude can have positive effects on individuals. One research study found that although time spent alone tended to depress a person's mood and increase feelings of loneliness, it also improved their cognitive state. They have increased concentration. Once the alone time is over, people's moods tended to increase significantly. An example might be a student who has an exam. The student is worried about the exam, decides to spend their time alone. The alone time helps them to study better, but when they're done, they definitely feel better.
Periods of aloneness, I think, are significant. And I think that it's important for people to give themselves that time to reflect so that when they do interact with others, that it is a relationship that is of significance.
Well, I'm not sure. That's too much of a generality to me. I can't say that's true for everybody. I mean, some people need time to reflect. Other okay. people need time to just get out there. You know, it's not like there's a general rule.
Right. But that also may change at times. There are times when I know others who wish to exchange perhaps on a more significant basis. They'll go to join a book club, or they'll feel that their intellect needs to be stimulated. And there are times when you just feel like you want to just curl up by the fireplace and read a book. And so we all, I think, need that. And that might change at various times in our lives.
People can experience loneliness for many reasons, and many life events are associated with it. Lack of friendship relations during childhood and adolescence. You know, being an only child is one hell of a way to go through life. Physical absence of meaningful people around a person are causes for loneliness, depression, involuntary celibacy. You know, when you think about it, because you just don't have any contacts around you. At the same time, loneliness may be a symptom of another social or psychological problem, such as chronic depression. Now, a person who is depressed will think, see, it's the way depression works. Depression makes you think. And when you think, you start saying, what's the matter with me? And then you think, I'm lonely. And then you keep on thinking, I'm lonely. Many people experience loneliness for the first time when they're left alone as an infant. It's also very common, though normally temporary, consequence of divorce or the breakup. They say divorces take 2 years to recover. A person gets divorced, takes 2 years. In these cases, it may stem from a loss of a specific person, from the withdrawal from social circles caused by that event, like you move, if you move from one neighborhood to the other, you know? Also, there are people who get sick, and they kind of can't go in with the other people. They very often talk about being lonely because they used to go out all the time, and now they can't go out and join people. So if they have a significant relationship that comes over or helps them go out, that means a great deal. If you lose a significant person in your life, typically it initiates a grief response. Now, one then will feel this grief, even in the company of others, but often they think of themselves as lonely. Because if you lose somebody you love, it's like losing a part of yourself. See, if you really love them and you love them really tight and you lose them, it's like, where's the other half of me? Where's that part of me? But that doesn't last long unless there's a depression underneath it. Loneliness may represent a dysfunction of communication and can also result from places with low population densities. Now that's, you know, here we are in New York. And in New York, whew, there are so many people here. Weren't you saying something about shopping? What's the advantage of shopping out there, Linda?
Well, it's interesting. I think that when we're out there shopping and you see the hustle and bustle of Manhattan in the middle of the holiday season, I think there's a tendency of wanting to join the energy of the shopping. So that, I think, helps cut into that feeling of loneliness, even though you may not be speaking significantly or exchanging to those around you. There's a feeling of I'm one of the group. I'm one. I can feel the energy of excitement and enthusiasm about the holiday season. So there was a piece there that I would like to say that when, you know, I was with someone else the other day, that person felt, oh my goodness, I'm lost in the crowd, where I can feel this sense of a frenzy, of excited energy. So there again, loneliness can come and go at different places, at different times, with different people.
It's swarming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to swarm. Mm-hmm. Do you swarm?
Yes, I do.
You do? You swarm. You go, you get, you know what a swarm is, right?
Sure do.
Do you ever see sardines swarm? Sardines, when they swarm to avoid the dolphins. You know those nice little dolphins that we like, that we love so much? Well, they eat baby sardines. Mm-hmm. And they eat sardines all that. And the way they get the way the sardines protect themselves is they swarm. Millions of sardines get together in one bunch, and they move as if they're one. But swarming is fun. It's like being on a movie line that's moving to get in. You know, you're swarming on the line. It's like being shopping. And, you know, you have to get your place in life. As long as everybody's okay, you swarm together. You know, swarming. Let's go swarm. How many of you go swarming? Another study found evidence that genetics account for approximately half of the measurable difference in loneliness among adults. Listen to this. The DNA did it again. DNA, do not associate. Do not associate. That DNA is lonely. Which is, it seems that people who are lonely are similar to the people before them and their levels of loneliness. The genes operate in a similar manner in males and females. And they find no common environmental contributions to adult loneliness, but they do find if an animal is a loner and has offspring, those offspring are loners more often than not. That's kind of an interesting thing. We're going to be asking about you, and we'll be taking your calls, my friends, because this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. And WBAI, this remarkable station of ours, is going through such enormous changes, trying to keep itself afloat. Next week, they're going to be doing a special fundraiser, and we will not be on air with you. So they're going to be raising money here at the station, and I'd like you to call them, but we won't be with you. But we will produce for you programs that will be available on Facebook. And what I've been doing is filling in my Facebook page, The Positive Mind, with programs for the days you miss. The frequent number of times that I'm not on air nowadays, as compared to what I was on a regular schedule. So for next week, I will not be with you, the rest of, but you could go to Facebook and I'll try to produce at least a 15-minute program every day that invites your connection. And when we invite your connection, you get connected to the other people who listen to The Positive Mind, and then you send it out. If you like the program, you send it out to your friends. Like I did a program, just appeared yesterday, on some remarkable research on the nature of semen. Semen, we were all born from semen, right? And what that does and what the meaning of it is just absolutely significant. So I presented that on Facebook, and you can go to the Facebook page. Wherever there are missing programs, see, I'll try to keep up with it, and I'll try to bring you a piece for every missing day. And if you have any feelings about it, do send me emails. Armand@thepositivemind.com. We're talking about loneliness. Loneliness is transient versus chronic loneliness. The important typology of loneliness focuses on the time perspective. In this respect, you can look at loneliness as either transient or chronic. When a person is sick and cannot socialize with friends, is a case of transient loneliness. As soon as a person gets better, it would be easy for them to alleviate their loneliness. A person who feels lonely, regardless of what they're at a family gathering, with friends or alone, is experiencing chronic loneliness. It does not matter what goes on in the world around him or her, the experience of loneliness is always there. So chronic loneliness is you always carry it with you. Transient loneliness means you're alone at the moment, and when you get together with other people, you're okay. Loneliness frequently occurs in heavily populated cities. In these cities, many people feel utterly alone and cut off, even when surrounded by millions of other people. You know, you're out of the swarm. They experience the loss of an identifiable community in an anonymous crowd. Sometimes I wonder what it's like to come from a small town to New York because I'm a New York guy. And, you know, in a small town, you know everybody. They greet you and so on and so forth. Now, in my neighborhood, where I live, everybody greets me. People don't even have to, I don't even have to say my name. But, of course, they hear me on the radio as well. But, you know, it's like most people know their neighbors in New York, but it's a smaller group. But a high population density. Loneliness occurs even in societies with much smaller populations, but the sheer number of people that one comes into contact with daily, even if only briefly, may raise barriers to actually interacting more deeply with them. You have to defend yourself more because there are more strangers. Quantity of contact does not translate into quality of contact. Loneliness appears to have some particularly prevalent in modern times. At the beginning of the 20th century, families were typically larger. Divorce was rarer. So we have to talk about divorce and what divorce does. And, you know, everybody, it's like divorce is such a funny thing because divorce usually takes place, get this now, around the time of menopause. Now, what does that mean? That means that divorce is taking place, especially for women, around the time that they're going through a certain physical change, drop in serotonin, a kind of depression that's looming there, waiting for them, partners that leave them, nobody understanding why this took place. And then there you are, alone, even though it's your choice, and feeling these chemical changes that make you feel just plain down. In the past, people didn't divorce. In the past, only 5% of households were single-person households. By 1995, 24 million Americans lived alone. By 2010, it's estimated that the number will have increased to about 31 million Americans live alone. I live alone in a swarm, especially those big buildings that you live in, you know, with little apartments and you're alone, even though you're surrounded by walls all around you. A 2006 study in the American Sociological Review found that Americans on average had only two close friends to confide in, down from an average of three in 1985. It's also shown a strong connection to internet usage. People suffering from loneliness tend to flock to internet sites in an attempt to find help or mend their pain. And there's a phenomenon on the internet called I Am Lonely, Will Anyone Speak to Me thread. If you put that up, you're going to get response. Of course, you get response from some weird people, too. But you get response. This is Armand DeMille. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. After our break, after our music, I'm going to be taking your calls. Would love to speak to you about it. But, of course, you could always respond both on the internet and on Facebook. And I can hear from you. Feel free to just get in touch with us, and we'll bring that stuff back here to us, to our future programming. Loneliness, of course, is also linked with suicide in a funny way through the depression. It's also could be connected with having a schizoid character type, in which case one sees the world differently and experiences alienations from others. You know, the self in exile, and it's really you feel yourself completely different. It can play a part in alcoholism. That's why I think Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, is so helpful, because it gives you a tribe to belong to again when you feel like you're outside the tribe, you know? In children, a lack of social connection is linked to several forms of antisocial behavior, self-destructive behavior, hostile and delinquent behavior, and I believe loneliness is at the base of most cutting. People who cut themselves, they don't feel connected. They want to feel something. And what they do is they reach up, they cut themselves so that they can feel something. Hey, we're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes. A little more discussion with this. This is Armand DeMille with Linda Vanella. We will be back with you in a few minutes, my friend.
Once the story's told, it can't help but grow. Roses me dear, oh, hold me dear. Close the window, come alive, and it will be all right. No need to bother now. Let it out, let it all be all alone, all alone. Close the window, come alive, and it will be all right. No need to bother now. Let it out, let it all begin. Oh, into the wind, my
Boss Gags really reached into it. Oh, do I remember Boss Gags. Hope you do too, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're all alone. Alone. In some words, it's a scary thought, a terribly frightening thing. You know, if you think about some of the ways that people think of it, and then at other times, it's not so scary. At other times, it's not as depressing. At other times, it means a time to gather myself. But, you know, it really is a thought of about an obsession. When you start thinking lonely, here's what you're thinking. I can't stand being with myself. That's what lonely means. Because the difference between people who feel okay with themselves and people who are not is that the people who feel okay with themselves, they don't get lonely. They have themselves there. I know people who go up to the woods to be alone. I know people who like to be alone, and they're not anti-people. They just have such a good time with themselves. I wish you had more time with yourself. You know, and then we complain, oh, I have no time to myself. But then we fill it right away with television or something like that. No, I think loneliness is a fraud. I think loneliness is a thought, a thing we think. But it takes us away from our true perception is that I don't like the way I feel right now and I can't stand my feelings. So if you feel sad, your brain does its normal thing. If you're feeling weak, sad, or anxious, your brain goes on search and says, what's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? And the brain says, what's the matter is there's a danger. What's the danger? What's the danger? The danger, and the brain always looks for danger. And the danger is there's nobody else here but us. And so the brain goes hunting for danger, and it finds, oh, there's nobody here but us, gets translated into, I'm alone, I'm lonely. I need a tribe. But that all comes out of a basic nervousness, sadness, depression, just feelings that you can't accept about yourself, inside yourself. If you get more comfortable with your feelings, you're never lonely. You may be sad. You may be mad. You may be glad. You may be fed. I don't know what fed is. I just made that up. It means following like everybody else. But you could be all of those. You could be bad. That was it. Feel sad, mad, glad, or bad. Trying to identify your feelings. Use that little thing. Feeling bad is when you're down. Feeling sad is when you're feel like you lost something. Feeling glad is when you're happy. Feeling mad is when you're angry. But if you can accept those feelings in yourself, you will find, if you accept your own feelings, that you will be thinking loneliness less. People who obsess about loneliness very often lose sleep. And then losing sleep becomes a problem. But again, the problem is the obsession, the thought process. We're okay, my friends. The human animal is meant to be a social animal. That's how we survived. But we can survive on our own. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hello.
This is Tony in New Jersey. In the toll booth again.
Hey, how are you? Good to hear you. Twice in a row. That's great.
Well, it's a subject that I've thought on myself a lot because I do a lot of things by myself. I was painfully shy as a child, very introverted. And my mother was the type, she would just push me into things without even discussing them with me. So a lot of times I'm the person, like my brother, he could make friends that same day. I'm the person that we could be somewhere 2 weeks before I speak to that person once, you know, one person. And
But, you know, you had a basic thing in your family. You had a basic thing that I believe went all the way back to being a kid. And there was a basic pain, which is that your father did not accept you.
Well, you know, my father, because my parents weren't married, I would see my father now and then. And yet he's the one parent who actually showed me affection, where my mother's not affectionate.
She's your mother wasn't affectionate at all.
No.
Why do you think she didn't like you? She liked your brother, didn't she?
Yeah, it's funny you picked up on that.
Yeah, sure, because I picked up that there's a part of you that would have wished you were a man.
You know what? I always felt
But why do you laugh when I say that? Because you know that feeling?
No, it's not so much that I wish I was a man, but it's just, you know what? It was control, wanting to be stronger. Because, see, my mother ended up marrying someone who was abusive. And as a child, I had physical abuse. He actually punched me in the eye like I was a grown man at the age of 14 because I told him to stop cursing at me. You know, so maybe I wish I was could have been man in the sense that I could get up and punch him.
And that's what you do in your toll booths nowadays. You're a cop.
In a sense, yeah.
You know, you're a cop. You stand up there and you won't let anybody get away with anything. You know what I mean? You sit behind your toll booth and somebody comes scooting by. You say, hey, you, mister, get over here. Pay your dues.
Yeah.
You know, that's a power you wished you always had as a kid.
Uh-huh.
You know, you sound like a really beautiful people. Do you, when you see people passing by, do you smile at them?
Sometimes.
What stops you?
I don't walk around smiling all the time.
I know, but what happens to you in your work? You know, if you think about you in your toll booth, you have a chance to smile at every human that goes through. They can't do you any harm. What would stop you?
That's a really good question. You know what? I guess I have a lot of my mother in me as far as showing emotion and affection.
You don't want to do that, right? You don't want to show the emotion so much.
I'm not the touchy-feely person.
You know, Tony, you say that. But you're on the air right now, and you're touching so many hearts. Right this minute, so many people are knowing you twice in a row. So here's your job. You ready? Because you got to join my platoon. You know, you got to be on my force here because we're the people who spread the beauty out there in the world. And what I want you to do is I want you to find that smile for everybody who comes by, no matter how bad they look. Because nobody is going to turn to Tony and say, what are you smiling at? Because you're pull out a bat and hit him in the head. You know what I mean? So everybody will be grateful for it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. Nobody's going to take advantage of you. Nobody's uh-huh. going to say, can I go through without paying? You know, so it's really what the little shift that we could take in you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to get up there to see Caucus, and I'm going to go through. And I'm serious. I'm uh-huh. going to get up there, and I'm going to go through a toll booth. And if I have to go through every toll booth to find Tony, I'll find the one who smiles at me.
Okay.
You're a beautiful lady. Thanks a lot for calling in, Tony.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Everybody going through Secaucus. Say hello, Tony. Even if it's not Tony, they'll pass it back to Tony. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, am I on here? It's me.
Yes, you are now.
Oh, hi, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I just wanted to comment on what you were talking about, loneliness. I had dinner with a friend last night, and she...
Are you still there?
Oh, she's just like a she's always sad, and her life is really different from mine, and she has a different personality. She's, you know, she's a very giving and generous person emotionally, and she's very vulnerable, and so she has a lot of really close friends. I'm a little different from her. I'm like a much more private person, and I have very wonderful, fabulous friends that I love, but I have a very small, like a handful of close friends. And, you know, I do spend, like, I'm a loner, and I do spend a lot of time alone, and when I'm, like, out at parties and stuff like that, sometimes I can't wait to get home to be with myself. I mean, I really have never had, you know, I grew up with, you know, like, four siblings, and, you know, the house was always full of people because we also lived in a neighborhood where we had a lot of family around, cousins and aunts and stuff. So as soon as I could, I got my own place because I, you know, kind of liked the solitude. And even when I was younger and I would be in the house, I always, you know, would kind of go in the room and read and stuff. And I, you know, I love being around people and everything, but I also like being with myself sometimes. And so, you know, I've never had a problem with that. But, you know, I do like my own company. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want company. And when I do, you know, I'll call someone or I'll just, you know, say, can we go to dinner? Can we have a movie? She's a little different, you know, and I'm not as open with my emotions or the way I'm feeling with people. She's a little different. She's just the opposite. So she has, like, tons of really close friends. She's such a fabulous person, but she's also very, like, sad a lot of the times and, like, lonely. And we were actually talking about it last night, and I told her, I hate that you're always so sad all the time. And, you know, she just is, you know, she's very pretty. She, you know, she's an actress and everything. And I think, you know.
So what is your confusion? What's your confusion?
I just, you know.
What's your question you have about yourself?
With me,
what's the confession? The question you have about you.
About me?
Yeah. Besides, what's your name? What's your name, by the way?
My name is Laverne.
Laverne. Laverne, what's the question you have about yourself?
Well, the question I have about myself is not, I mean, I don't really have so much of a question about myself because
try one.
I don't have
try
a,
one. Try to see.
Oh,
try to see what Laverne is asking about Laverne.
Well,
are you saying, is it okay to be as removed from people as I am compared to the other people around me?
No, I'm happy. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I just think that, you know, what you were saying, this is a person, I know a person that has tons of really close friends that love her, but she's sad and lonely all the time. And I think we were talking about it yesterday, and I think it's how she feels about herself.
Laverne, I tell you, I think that you must be very selective in your friendships, in who you love. And I think when you see somebody who gets an abundance of it, did you grow up, what kind of a family did you grow up with? I bet there were a lot of kids around. How many people in your family when you were a baby?
Well, there were five of us, like there were five kids
I
around.
There was a lot. Five, right?
Yeah.
Did everybody have time for everybody? Did your parents have time for both all the kids?
Not really.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, what?
Were you brought up by both parents or one?
Yeah, both, you know, part of the time. My parents eventually got divorced before I finished high school.
So they got divorced before you finished high school.
Yeah.
And there you were. And how many, were you the middle child?
No, I'm next to the youngest.
You're next to the youngest. So who had room for you? Who had time for you?
Well,
you know, and that's it. That you carry that with you. You carry that next to the youngest mentality, and you see there are other people getting a lot more affection and stuff, and you're saying, well, I'm okay the way I am, which is what you did as a child.
I did like to, you know, go off by myself. I mean, I like that. I mean, I like
I understand
the house full of people
sometimes we got to understand the situation we're in, and we take it and get the most out of it, and I feel that's what you did as a kid and as now.
Even now, like, when I go, like, out, like, to parties and stuff, sometimes I can't wait to, like, get home by myself.
You got to get away from it. I understand.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling in, Laverne.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's generally the question I have to ask people. What is the question you're asking about yourself? And when you're a child who comes from a family that's got enough stress in it that your parents break up while you're a teenager, and there are five kids, five mouths to feed, means there's enough stress in that family that Laverne would have had to settle for whatever she could get. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Mama Gigi.
Hey, Gigi.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, Armand. My name is Katya.
Hello, Katya. Is that a three-year-old baby you have there?
He's four.
Four. Oh, my God. I missed it.
You're very close. I would like to share with you that I love to be alone. I am a very social person, but I needed that time by myself. It's rejuvenating for me. If I don't have the time for myself to be alone, I'm not a very happy camper. I needed to go in and out, be with other people, and then have time for myself. And I always been that way since I was a kid.
Well, Katya, it's true, but it's not true. It's true, but it's not true because you surround yourself with life. Now, you are alone, but you have your child there, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's not being alone. You always have a child there. And then on top of that, you have parakeets.
No. He has a toy bird that he's pressing, makes noise.
It's a toy bird.
Yeah.
That's a nice toy bird. It's making
it's a
nice...
cardinal.
It's a cardinal.
It makes this exactly the sound of a cardinal.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. The kind of attention you've always gotten from people, it's usually when people are with you, it means that you have to do things for them. You
right.
see, because you're a pleaser.
How do you know that?
Same way I know how old your child is.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're a pleaser, being alone is such a blessing because you could stop doing. Now, what if you were with people but you didn't do? You wouldn't know how to do that because you were brought up to do. You serve, you take care of people.
Right.
So it isn't that you like being alone. You just love not having to do so much.
Oh. Well, I guess you hit right on the head. I find out something about myself. It's so true. Yeah. Actually, when even sometimes sometimes I want to be alone and people want to be with me, if it's somebody that I don't know, I get a little scared because I always thinking, oh, do I want to get in that relationship? What they want from me is, I know they don't want anything, but I don't know.
How am I going to take care of them? How am I going to make them happy? What are they going to need?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I just can't be there because me, Katya, it's not good just enough the way I am. I'm going to have to give them something to make them happy.
Right.
And so being alone, phew. I'll make you a bet when you are alone, you're still looking for something to do. Even though you like being alone, I bet you're still busy.
I like to read.
Yeah.
And I like to read. I just, or think, be with my own thoughts. And
so when you like to read, what do you like to read the most?
I like to read a variety of things, but most non-novels, most reality, most like biographies and...
Stories of people's lives.
Yes.
And stories about how people struggle and get through and accomplish.
Yeah, about other cultures and religions and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, struggle is a word that you admire. Well, Katya, it sounds like you're somebody who gives a great deal to the world, and I'm certainly glad you get enough time to rejuvenate yourself. It's really important. Do you have any one particular person, an adult, who is loving you nowadays, or have you chosen not to be in a relationship now?
You know...
I do know.
Well, my husband, he says that he loves me a lot, but...
Yeah, I know, but it's what I'm asking.
He's very needy.
He's what?
Very needy.
Very needy. So you don't feel like somebody loves you. It feels like there's somebody there who loves you because you take care of them, but not loves you because you are you. And
right.
That's a lonely feeling. That's a very... Then you talk about lonely, you say... I like being alone. Well, you do, but it's kind of like at the same time, wouldn't it be nice to be loved for who you are? And the way you put it, I can't blame your husband because you probably sold yourself that way. You probably said, hey, I serve you, I serve you, I serve you, I serve you. And he says, oh, I love you for serving me. And then you say, but all you want is for me to serve you. Right? And then you have a child and you have to serve your child too.
Right.
So we have to find a place for you in life.
I have three.
You have three children.
Yes.
Three children and a husband. And you're serving everybody?
Yeah, but you know...
But I bet you, where's your mother nowadays?
My mother, I didn't grow up with my mother, and he passed away.
She
died. Leukemia, yeah, 3 years ago.
And
I didn't know her well.
Who did you grow up with?
With my father and my stepmother.
And did you take care of your stepmother?
She, because as a kid, it was like five kids, my father's three kids, and her kid, and then my father had, and her had another child. And I was the one that did good in school.
So you helped by being...
Helped everybody, yes.
Yes, so you took care of everybody, Katya.
Yes.
And
yeah.
This is what made your daddy love you. So now I'm going to tell you the secret of your life. The secret of your life is trying to get your father to love you. And the way you're trying to get your father to love you is to do what he wants. You're taking care of everybody. And that's the secret of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're still waiting for him to say, okay, you've done enough, now I could love you. And...
I didn't feel much about that with my dad. He was loving. I think I took that upon myself because I felt sorry for him.
Maybe.
And I
want
to be a good child so I wouldn't give him any more trouble that he had already.
No, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're still serving. Mm-hmm. Katya, thank you very much for being in this world. Thank you very much for calling in. And we will be, we're going to have to be going. I'm sorry to lose you, Katya. So we will be back with you, my friends, in a little over a week. But do tune into the Facebook, thepositivemind.com, and we will be bringing you some more programs that way until we get to you in just 2 weeks on a Tuesday when I'll bring you more exciting stuff.
Questions about your computer?